And welcome to Pearls of Power.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Pearls of Power. And I'm Tracy. Tonight, I'll be speaking to you on the Kingdom of God. It is so interesting that subject, that topic, is so interesting. And I know that you will be blessed as we discuss this and go through this topic tonight. The Kingdom of God is, that term is scattered throughout the Bible. But what does it really mean? So we have to discover what the Kingdom of God means, and it's very important. That it's, spiritually speaking, it's God's present and eternal sphere of authority. Present means now. It's not something that was. It's his current and eternal, eternal meaning and forever, sphere of authority. We can understand the kingdom of God. It's expressed in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The kingdom of God is the will of God. The will of God is the advancement of the kingdom of God so that God may receive glory. And it is sprinkled throughout the entire Bible. If you can understand that God wants his will to be operating not only in heaven but in earth, if you can understand that that is really the theme of the Bible, then the Bible will come together in more clearer instead of being it's seemingly separate stories. The theme of the kingdom of God will bring those what it seems separate stories together when you understand that God is giving you these instances and occurrences in history to help you to understand better that it is his kingdom that he wants to operate in the earth. To be a part of God's kingdom, we must be under God's rule and operating under his authority. Okay, so, and I think one of the worst things you can happen is not to teach your child to respect authority, or a child running amok and you're not teaching them, giving them discipline and guidelines because they grow up thinking that they don't have to answer to anyone. But even in the kingdom of God, you are under guidelines, rules, and regulations. We enter the kingdom of God through the new birth, being born again in his kingdom. But once we're born into the kingdom, now the challenge is getting the kingdom of God into you and to me. Luke 17:21 says that the kingdom of God is within you. Okay, so the kingdom of God is not so much a location, because really God cannot be confined to a location. God is omnipresent. But the kingdom of God is us as Christians being led by the Spirit of God. The kingdom of God is God being demonstrated in our life. The kingdom of God is a lifestyle. It's a way of life. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of being. Let me give you an example. It's like you deciding to adopt an orphan, okay? Well, this orphan, they were probably in a house. Let's suppose they were raised until they were 5 or 7 years old. They lost their parents for whatever reason, neglect or whatever, or death or whatever, and now they're transferred into your house through adoption. Well, I mean, they come in there, or, you know, they're not used to your rules. They're not used to sitting at the table or eating. They're not used to picking up their clothes behind themselves. They're not used to going to bed on a school night at maybe 9 or 9:30. They're not used to that, those rules and guidelines and regulations. And so so you'll have to, as a parent, you have to teach them that. Or maybe another example is you have teenagers in your home, and you have rules and guidelines that they know, but they don't want to obey those rules. And so when you get to a point where you don't want to obey the rules of the house, under the house, the owner of that house, then you have a conflict. Now we have a conflict, and so the house, you can say, is divided. And when the house is divided, you have problems. And so the two, the parent and the teenager, are at odds because the other is trying to create and make their own rules in someone else's house. And so when you become a child of God, you now come under the kingdom of God, the authority of God. You now come under new guidelines, new rules, new regulations, and you have to be taught that. And so it's a process and it's a change, but you have to be willing. So you've entered the kingdom of God. Listen to this now. You've entered the kingdom of God when the kingdom of God has entered you. Let me tell you something. Like I said, God cannot be contained. He's omnipresent. He's everyone. You can't really contain God. So the kingdom of God is a concept of the ways of God. It's God in you. God in you is the kingdom of God. Separation from God really equals you having no part in the kingdom of God. Separation from God, for instance, those that go to hell, they still exist, but because God is not in them, they don't want any part of God. They cannot have a part of the kingdom of God. So when you entered the kingdom of God, when you were born again, the kingdom of God, God in flesh, Christ in you, he came inside of you and lived inside of you, and now you are a part of the kingdom of God. When God comes in you, into you, at the new birth, the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God now lives inside of you. God is eternal, okay? That means he lives forever. So when the eternal God entered you, because God lives forever by virtue of the definition of God, he lives forever. And when he enters inside of you, you now live forever. So eternity actually begins when at the new birth process. Eternity begins at new birth. Christ in you is eternity. When he told, Mary was asking him about Lazarus, and Jesus told him that he is eternal life. Christ in you, he is eternal life. For the Christian, I'm getting off of it, but for the Christian, it's really not, death is not what we think it is. Because sometimes I think they think that it's you're unconscious or something. But the Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I mean, it happens just that quick. Eternity begins right now. With the Christian, eternity began at the new birth. Death for us is a transfer from this realm into the presence of God. So eternity for the Christian begins at the new birth. And the Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, and the dust returns to the ground from whence it came, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So God wants us to live out on earth the principles and the guidelines and the standards of heaven, because heaven actually is right here in us right now. We just have to yield and obey. God's will, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God's will is for us, his standard is to be carried out by his children now and in every area of life. God's standard, his ways, his will is to be carried out now and in every area of life. He tells us we are to be in this world, but not of this world. We are to be in this world, but not of this world. But now, let me tell you something. That's a whole lot that you see it. In John 18:36, he told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. Of meaning, okay, listen to this. He didn't say my kingdom is not from this world. He said my kingdom is not of this world. That means that he has a kingdom, okay, but it did not derive or originate from earth. Although it is in the earth, its source is from another location. It did not derive or originate from earth. The kingdom of heaven's authority is to extend to this earth, okay? It is to extend from God's authority in the heavenly realm, in that spiritual realm, but his principles are to extend to the earth because we are God's people and we should carry out and honor God's rules no matter where we're at. I mean, if we're on planet XYZ as children of God, we should uphold the standard of the kingdom of God because we are registered in the kingdom of God as his children and we represent him. I hope I'm making myself clear. You entered the kingdom of God when the kingdom of God enters you. So God's guidelines and ways are to be carried out no matter where we're located and no matter our physicality. He expects us to operate on the level of his standards. Okay, so that means on your job. That means at school, you know, wherever you are, our choices should be based on the guidelines of the kingdom of God, that on the level of the kingdom of God. Now listen, and it is found in the word of God. I mean, sometimes when I'm teaching, I sound like I'm repeating myself, but the word of God is key. That is where we get our guidelines and our principles as converts into the kingdom of God. Now God has to teach us the rules of his house. You can't come into his house and set your own rules. It don't work in your house. It's not going to work in his house. He has guidelines, and he expects us to learn those guidelines and be led by the Spirit with ease. I mean, it's not really thou shalt not, thou shalt not this, and thou shalt not do that. I'm not saying that at all, because the grace of God has been given to us to walk in naturally in the Spirit. If we just obey, it'll be as natural as breathing to live as a child in the kingdom of God. But nevertheless, there is a kingdom within a kingdom. Okay, in this world, you are to go. In this world, we are built on our day-to-day life, but with a standard and with a purpose. Because, you know, Jesus says, you know, be in this world but not of this world. And he calls us a peculiar people. And so that standard of purpose is going to stand out because we're operating out of another realm. Now, I'm not saying some kind of weirdo that don't wear makeup and dresses all the way down to their ankle and just looking just crazy. That's not what I'm talking about. I personally think that you can still be current, but with modesty and class, okay? I could give you an example of the standard of God is, for instance, a child of the kingdom of God, well, they go to church. When we're sitting at about to eat our dinner, we bless our food. The world doesn't bless their food. You know, we pray and check with God to see if the choices that we're making are okay. Well, I mean, a worldly person, a non-Christian, is not going to do that. We don't engage in profane talking, and you know, a child of God tithes. In the kingdom of God, you tithe. Well, a worldly person doesn't tithe. They don't understand. You know, they don't understand that. So, even though we're in this world, we operate on and make our choices on a different set of rules. You know, so so remember, I can remember when me and my family was at a we were at a restaurant. We eat out a lot. We were at a restaurant and we bowed our heads and we said grace. And grace was over, and I looked at the waiter, and he was looking at us like we was from planet I don't know. You know, I mean, he just had this really funny look on his face. And I don't know if maybe he was a new waiter and he never saw Christians pray over their food before, but that is the way of the kingdom of God. We bless our food, you know. And if you are of the world, you probably don't do that. You probably haven't really seen it, or you don't have friends that do that in front of you or whatever, but it seems strange to him. And God calls, that's why God says we're peculiar people. Some of the things that we do, some of our vernacular is a little different, you know. And so because we are a part of a different kingdom. Now, worldliness is the system, of the world that is headed by Satan. And Satan calls the shot. He sets the rules, which the rules is anything goes. And God is just left out of the equation. So that is worldliness. It is Satan's rules, his lies, deceptions, abominations, murder, heresy, covetousness, et cetera, and you know, and the list goes on. So worldliness is operating outside of the kingdom of God. So when you are in the world and as a Christian, you're going to be in direct opposition with the world. When you're in the kingdom of God and you're actually trying to operate and walk in the principles of the kingdom of God, you're going to meet opposition. The Bible clearly says that, you know, those that live godly shall suffer persecution. Matthew 5:10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, but he promises theirs is the kingdom of God. Two can't walk together except you be agreed. You can't serve God and mammon. So when the kingdom of God is operating in you and you're so yielding your life to being transformed into his kingdom by your standards and your lifestyles, you're going to meet some problems. You're going to have some challenges from time to time, but God forewarned you that was going to happen. But, be of good cheer. Be of good courage. God has
Amen.
Got you. So he's got you. He's going to protect you. He's going to cover you. There are plenty of scriptures. Psalms 91. And then he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He says he enlarge your footsteps that your foot may not stumble. You know, he says that, you know, the rocks that they try to roll over on you will wind up rolling back over on them. You know, and I actually kind of love this because it reminds me of when I used to watch Roadrunner when I was a little girl. But, you know, the coyote was always trying to get the Roadrunner, but he was always the one getting got. But anyway, you must understand that those that live godly for Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus said, so you can, to be born again, you must enter the kingdom of God. But it is another level for the kingdom of God that to enter you. It's one thing for you to enter the kingdom of God. It's a total different thing for the kingdom of God to enter you. That takes renewing of your mind. So you can be born again, but you can still have a carnal mind. And that is where God wants to get you. He wants to get to you on that level, the level of your mind, because when God has your mind, everything else will follow. Everything else about you will follow your thoughts. And so God wants you to renew your mind. Our thoughts must be reprogrammed. We must have put on the mind of Christ. We must be in agreement with God on every level and not just lip service, so that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So renewing the mind, as according to Romans 12, is the goal of every Christian, because when we renew our mind, then we will not be conformed to this world, but we will be transformed. We will be transformed. The kingdom of God will start working inside of us when we allow the renewing of your mind. And let me tell you something, that's a whole different teaching, the renewing of your mind. The kingdom of God has four components, okay? First of all, the kingdom of God has a king. Okay, well, why are you going to have a kingdom without a king? The kingdom of God has a king. The kingdom of God has subjects or rulees, which would be angels and humans. Okay? The kingdom of God has a sphere or a realm, which would be heaven and earth, visible and invisible. And then the kingdom of God also has, which we discussed at some length, rules and guidelines. So the king would be the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible says that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And in the kingdom, there is a king that is ruling in it. Okay, so, and that kingdom would be the, in our case, for the kingdom of God, we have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The sphere of the kingdom is the earth. Like I said, it's heaven and earth. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the worlds, plural, worlds, and they that dwell therein. The Bible says that the earth is his footstool. Okay, so in the kingdom of God, God calls the shot. The fourth area is his rules and guidelines. He calls the shot. In the kingdom of God, when you're king, you are the authority. It's not a democracy. God cannot be vetoed. There is no Congress in the kingdom of God or House of Representatives. His word is final, and so I remember I was looking at one interview on television where this commentator was interviewing a minister, and he asked the minister a really hot topic these days, and the minister responded correctly. Okay, he responded correctly. He responded according to the word of God. Well, that particular commentator did not. He did not like the response, and he said, shouldn't we be, you know, isn't the Bible outdated? And I remember him saying, shouldn't we be dragging the Bible into the 21st century, kicking and screaming if we have to? Well, let me tell you something. I thought that was hilarious, but that is the way, a lot of people think that we should be trying to change the word of God. God's word is final. You can't veto God's word. It is not up for discussion. Now, we live in a democracy. We were born, all those in America, born and raised, we're accustomed to that. We don't know anything else. In other countries where there are monarchies, they understand it a little bit more clearer. But for us, especially Americans, we don't understand a monarchy where the king's word is final. God's word is supreme. It's final. He said he has placed his word above his name, and his name is great. Okay, so the standards of the kingdom of God will always be the standard. You can't drag it into the 21st century. Let me tell you something about that. Adultery 2,000 years ago was wrong. Adultery today is wrong. And if the Lord carries adultery 2,000 years from now, will still be wrong. I mean, it's not going to change, no matter, you know, it's just that the carnal mind cannot accept, you know, the finality of God's word. And they'll, you know, and that's the spirit of the Antichrist. They want to do away with God's authority. And it's just not happening. The standard of the kingdom of God will always be standard. And I mean, you're not going to get around it. Or The other option is you don't have to participate in it, but you don't like option B. Trust me, you won't like option B. So God is sovereign. A sovereign is a person who has supreme power and authority. A monarch is someone with sole authority, meaning he only is running it. He only runs the show. He is sovereign, someone that's dominant, which means his word overrides everyone else's word. Now, I'm talking about the kingdom of God. You have to be taught how the kingdom of God runs. You can't go asking God, can we vote on this? You can plead your case, but for the most part, you need to know how a monarchy is run. God is autonomous, meaning he's self-governing. He's not subject or to control from the outside. There is no outside counsel. God counsels within himself, okay? And he is commanding, meaning that he's authoritative. He directs with authority, and it is effective, means when he says it, he doesn't have to yell or scream. He can whisper it. It's going to get done. Okay? He's commanding. Whatever he wants, it is done because his word will not return unto him void. I mean, that's the kind of God we serve. He can just speak the word. The centurion understood that. You know, he told Jesus, you know, just speak the word. Because I'm a man under authority, and I know I have people under me. And when I tell them to do something because of the concept of authority, they do it. So God just speaks the word. The throne is, you know, the Bible says that the throne is a place of God is forever and ever. And the throne is used to denote a kingdom. It represents the office of a sovereignty. So when we speak of the throne of God, we're also speaking of the kingdom of God also. Psalms 22, and I'm closing this up. I'm almost done. Psalms 22:28 says, "For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations." Psalms 45:6 says that his kingdom is forever and ever. This is not temporary. It is forever. His kingdom is governed in righteousness. Psalms 45:6. And it is ordered with judgment and justice. And, you know, that's very important. We live in a society where judges and dictators and authorities can be bought. You know, but you can't bribe God. You can trust that his decisions are made according to righteousness, the kingdom of God. His decisions are wise decisions, and that these decisions are within the parameters of his holiness. There will never be a need to question God's decisions because his decisions are just and righteous. And those in positions of authority in his kingdom will rule according to what is just and righteous. They will rule with equity and mercy and truth. And you can be assured that, you know, God is merciful. And there will never be any deception in the kingdom of God because truth goes before him. The things that we wonder and question about in regards to rulers and people in authority on this earth will not be an issue in the rule and reign in the kingdom of God. Because we know that God is righteous and just, and he will run his kingdom accordingly forever. And I'm going to stop right there. It's now 8:30. And that was part one of the kingdom of God. And I hope you enjoyed it. If you have not ask God to come into your heart, and you would like to be a part of this kingdom of God, you can just repeat this simple prayer with me and just mean it from your heart. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need you. Forgive me for my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Write my name in your book of life, and when you come again, receive me into your kingdom. And if you pray this in Jesus' name, amen. If you pray this prayer, you know, welcome into the kingdom of God. Your journey has just begun. And that concludes my program tonight, Girls of Power. And I'd just like to thank you for tuning in, and I want to turn you over to Dr. Hunter.
Well, the thing of it is, I'm here. I want to thank everybody that's listening, came on later, because, my God, I said, see, script to script, and nothing but the Holy Spirit moved you in what you were doing. And one thing I like what you said that blessed me, you don't have a right to vote yay or nay. You have submitted, and you must be committed to God. But I got some people online. I want them to stay on the line because I have a person who's going to call in about 8:30 who needs some prayer. And she's a dear friend of mine. She's a political. And I told her, she said, no, but and so she needs prayer. The enemy is attacking her body. And I know that we have the right and authority. If we can reach out and help somebody, that's what we're about. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's see. We got somebody that's on the line supposed to come on right now. Are you there? Hello? Hello? Well, I give God the praise and the glory. But one thing I will say to the body of Christ, to all of us that are listening, we're living in a time where we know that if we don't do what God has shown us to do, we're going to be in big time problems. And one of the things I will say to the body of Christ, more than anything else, is this, and I think that we just hold on. I think that what we have to do is we have to take God at his word. And tonight I'll just say, she's here to say, I'm here. Don't call your name, just say, I'm here.
I'm here.
We want to pray for her, and I want us to lift up in prayer. Now somebody said, well, why don't y'all tell her who it is? Because it is something that Sister Harding said, when we come to God, we want to come directly to God, and sometimes God has people that can help us. And I will say this to every one of you on the line. I want you to lift this person up in prayer because I know this person personally, and I've seen what God can do through her, in her. And sometimes the enemy comes in, but I want to call him a liar from the word say, go. He's a liar from the beginning. So, Tracy?
Yes.
Would you lead us out in prayer? And the other people on the line after you finish, because I want her to get the blessing that God has for her. Amen?
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, God, we lift our sister up in prayer. I bind the attacks of the enemy in Jesus' name. I thank you, Most High God, that you are opening doors for my sister that no man can shut, and you are closing doors for her that no man can open. I thank you, Lord, for the blessings of God on her life. Open up the windows of heaven and pour her out blessings. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In Jesus' name, I lift her up, Most High God, and I pray that you will strengthen her and her inner man, and that the power of God and the presence of God will fill her, and from the crown of her head to the sole of her foot. In Jesus' name, I pray for your anointing power to begin to work and consume her and enshroud your loving arms around her, Most High God. And I pray in Jesus' name that your wings will cover her right now.
Yes,
and she will find security under the shadow of your wings right now. We lift her up, Most High God, and in Jesus' name I pray that you will do your perfect work in her life, Lord. Encourage her soul, dear Jesus, for she needs that encouragement, for you are the God of comfort. I pray that you will order her steps. I pray that you will bless her going out and her coming in Jesus' name. Cover her, Most High God, with your blood. In Jesus' name, I pray that you will give her directions and what she should do. In Jesus' name, I thank you. I speak the name of Jesus over her life, mind, body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Rishna Ralini Kama Rishna I pray for the joy of the Lord, Most High God. The joy of the Lord is her strength. I thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord is her strength. I thank you for the joy of the Lord and the peace of God that passes all understanding. I thank you, Lord, my peace. I leave with you my peace. I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I thank you, Lord. I bind any fear in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I pray for boldness and courage. Be of good cheer. Be encouraged, for I have overcome the world. I thank you, Most High God, that you're strengthening her, Lord. You're strengthening her, Lord. You're upholding her with your right hand. You are covering her, Most High God. I thank you, Lord, for joy and peace. Joy and peace. I thank you, Lord, for joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I thank you for joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I thank you for the peace of God. I thank you for the peace of God. Infuse and the peace of God to infuse throughout her body, Most High God. And will keep her heart and her mind. Will keep her soul, Most High God. The peace of God. I throw down and I cast out worry, fear, and discouragement in Jesus' name. I thank you, Most High God. Be encouraged. Be encouraged in Jesus' name. Be encouraged in Jesus' name. Be encouraged. I thank you for by financial blessings and prosperity, Most High God. Supply all of her needs according to your riches and your glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that all of her needs will be met, Most High God. I thank you, Lord, that men will sow into her bosom, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I thank you, Lord, that she will turn to you in prayer and lift up her heart and her eyes to you, Most High God, and that from whence comes her help. Her help comes from the Lord, and you will answer her. You will answer her. You have answered her. You have answered her in Jesus'
yes.
name.
Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Sam, somebody else has got a prayer. Will you offer your prayer, 5240? Would you please offer your prayer if you're on the line? Oh, 190, would you please offer your prayer? Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I bind the attacks of the enemy. Thank you, Lord, for joy and peace. Thank you, Lord, for joy and peace. For provision. For provision, Lord. For provision, Lord. For provision. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Tonight is the night that we come before the Holy Father. But before I come before the Holy Father, I ask you, Jesus, to purge me, to let your blood cover me.
Yes.
Any sin that I have in my life, knowing or unknowing, anything that will cause me to be ashamed of the Father that is coming when I come to him. But because we're all here tonight, we just praise your holy name.
Yes, we do, Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we love you. We adore you. And Father, tonight's the night that we just say we thank you for the many blessings that you have done upon all seven continents. But because the blood of Jesus Christ urges us to the throne, and we know we got full protection, all of us on this radio station. And Father, because the prayer request was made known, we let it be known that the enemy cannot attack this one person any longer. All seven systems are being healed, have been healed, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach.
Yes, Lord.
We take authority, and we believe tonight that the testimonies she have, I am healed, I am healed, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. And I believe right now, Father, the request is being known, not only for her, but some others who are making it unknown. But, Father, I want to thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want to say thank you for everything you've done thus far.
Yes,
from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, you're still God. But oh, because you showed us in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you would send us Jesus Christ. And because Jesus came and said he gave his life that we might have a right to the tree of life. Moreover, because he said he come, he took on the form of a man and fashioned himself as a man. And even suffered the cross, the death of the cross. But we lift up his name and we say hallelujah. And we thank
hallelujah.
You, Father. We thank you for what you've done. And
yes,
we say,
yes.
Father, your words say how you sent your son, how he came, and he paid the price that he didn't know. It was our penalty that he paid for us. And it's because he came in the fullness of God. Hallelujah. And I'm asking you tonight, Father, because to the fullness of the penalty has been paid tonight on every one of us on this radio station, particularly this one who needed prayer, tonight we just believe she is touched by the hand of God.
Yes.
And fire through her whole body, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, all seven systems of her body operating 0-1, 0-1, 0-1, 0, operating right now, Father.
Yes.
And I want to say thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Because
thank you,
you gave your life, Jesus, for us.
Yes.
That you might destroy the works of the devil and loosen the bondage on death and death. Hallelujah. That he had over us.
Hallelujah.
We're set free. I'm free.
Yes.
We're free. And Father, I believe, hallelujah, hold on, see the under, hold on, did he see the under, the Kaladababoya, and the city, the Oto, Hoshaka, Siki, the Omar, all that, oh, that you will touch, ho, ho, yanda, that I see, Kirio, ho, Mababo, see, Oto, Mababo, yonder. And Father, hallelujah, that son that she loved that's near around, they need a touch right now. But touch him, Father. Touch him.
Please, God.
In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I want to say thank you, Lord.
Thank
I want to say thank you, Lord.
Thank
I want to say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Yes, because
thank
you're the kind of God. You're God. When it looked like it ain't nothing happening, you said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Yes.
And we renew our strength. We shall mount up with the wings of an eagle. Hallelujah. And we want to thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. But stay on the line, everybody, because I got a lady for the tea tonight, Sonia. We was asking this lady, needed prayer. We were praying for her. And I know it's your time. I'm not trying to take your time, but can you enter into the prayer before you give us the word for the lady that God will continue to seal and conceal her? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Father, we just thank you right now. We welcome you, precious Holy Spirit, to lead and guide us through this time of prayer and giving your word, Father, that it will be a word and a prayer that's right on target. And, Father, we just thank you right now.
Yes,
we thank you. We lift up our sister right now, Lord God, that you seal this prayer, Lord God.
Yes.
Your kingdom come and your will is done in her life, Lord God. Father, your word says that you was bruised for our iniquity, that the chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your stripes we are healed. And, Father God, we just thank you for complete healing in our spirit, in our soul, and in her body. Father God, we just thank you that as you heal the lady with the issue of blood, and, Father, when you turn around, you say that she is whole. Father, we just thank you that, the healing that you provide tonight is just going to bring wholeness to her life in Jesus' name.
Yes,
Father, we just thank you right now, and we receive all that you have for us. And we don't just take half of it, a quarter of it, three-fourths of it. We receive your complete healing by faith in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Father, we give you the praise for it right now.
Yes, we
Father,
do.
Father, we see it as done. It's a done deal. And we believe we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I want to Amen. Amen. You have a prayer you want to pray for yourself, my beloved sister? You want to pray? Well, that's what we always do. If you have a prayer you want to pray for yourself while we are with you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Father God, thank you for the many blessings. Thank you for everyone that's online, dear God, who have set up their blessings for me. They didn't have to take this time, dear God, but they did, which shows that they have the love, the peace, and the understanding. Lord, thank you for letting me have been a person that people would want to do these kind of things for. And, Lord, I just pray for my brother, Brother Hunter, who's been such a dear, dear friend to me. And I have endured a lot of pain. And for him to call upon me today and says, call in. And immediately I called in. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you. We can't stop thanking you enough for the blessings that we have asked. And, Lord, I ask the blessings for each and every one of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, stay on the line. Sonia, go on, teach us right quick.
Amen. And amen, sister. Believe that you receive in the name of Jesus. Right now, whatever it is that you can do to act like it's so, like it's already been done, do that. The Bible says that we have to believe that we receive when we pray.
Amen.
Believe that you receive it. Believe that you receive it already. When we pray, we have to believe that we receive it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. John 11 and 25. I still haven't been able to let go of this John 11 yet. I'm going to start there tonight. And John 11, 25 and 26. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You know, when we read the scripture here, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You know, that right there is a done deal. If we believe in the Lord, no matter where we are, we covered. If we live, we covered. And if we die and go on to glory and to eternal life, we covered. As long
Amen.
As we are believing in Jesus. You know, he's got us covered no matter what, because he is the resurrection and the life. Any situation we get ourselves in or we find ourselves in, he's got it covered, and he is the answer to everything that we, every situation and every circumstance that goes on in our life. You know, though they are trying to recover the bodies of all these children, these teenagers over in Korea, South Korea, out of this ferry that sank 6 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they chose Jesus as their Lord, he is the resurrection and the life for them. Whether they want some of those that survive or some of those that perish. He's got them covered either way. Amen?
Either way. Amen.
You know, wherever we go and whatever we're going through, Jesus is our answer. And
yes.
The bottom line is we have to believe. The prayer we just prayed, you know, we cannot get so caught up into these things that we're just saying prayers and we don't believe them. You know, we have to believe what we pray when we pray it, and then we've got to act like it. Like it is real, and it is so real than the symptoms, than the doctor report, than whatever we're going through. Whatever we're praying, we must believe that we receive it. You know, that is the key to whatever we do in the kingdom of God, is believing God, is believing that Jesus is who he said he is, who this word says he is, and believing that God did and made available what he said he made available. If we don't believe it, we're just sitting here wasting time and just studying this word like a lot of the scholars, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees was doing. You know, they knew this word, but there was something missing. You know, they were still caught up in the things of the world, you know, in these high positions and in the affluent, you know, positions that they had with the Roman government. You know, so, you know, the bottom line is we need to operate in this world, or we need to act like we believe. You know, whenever we are praying, whatever we are doing, is it showing that we are believing God? You know, when we pray for people or when we pray for about situations in our life, is our conversation going along with that afterward, or are we talking doubt and unbelief? Are we canceling out our prayers? Is our action canceling out our prayers moments or, you know, a little bit later? You know, what are we doing?
Amen.
Are we truly believers?
Amen.
You know, when we look at all these situations in life and these circumstances, God has made everything available to respond to every situation that we go through in life. And, you know, he's made how we should be conducting ourselves. He's told us how we should be conducting ourselves. He's told us how to respond to every situation. He told us how our personality should be when we look at the fruit of the Spirit. That tells us the way we should be behaving. When we look at situations that we get caught up in, when we want to look at how to respond to these things, he tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They don't look like the world responded. And we should be talking how the world talks. The weapons of our warfare, the way we respond to situations and circumstances, especially problems, is we respond to it in God's way. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. This whole thing, our whole behavior, our whole demeanor, our whole response to how we're walking in this world is not our way, not the culture way, not the way we learn in school, but it's God's way.
Excellent.
You know, we are new creations. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus.
Mm.
You know, it's a time to do new business, and that new business starts with believing. And then the next step is being transformed, with our minds renewed by this word of God. This is a new way of activity for us than what we normally have been exposed to growing up in this world. And one thing about the whole thing is that, you know, we are released from this mess. You know, the world builds you up on fear and, you know, a spirit of fear. That's what the world has for you. It trains you to be fearful. And God never gave us a spirit of fear, but he gave us power, love, and a sound mind. He didn't give us double-minded. He didn't give us confusion. He didn't give us these phobias and all this stuff, you know, hoarding and what you see people doing nowadays. You know, all this lasciviousness where they just caught up in a lot of wayward living. You know, he didn't give us all that. He gave us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind, but we don't get none of this unless we believe. And it's all about believing what God has already made available for us. And then it's not our work. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does this work on us from the inside out.
Amen.
You know, so I said, you know what? This is a beautiful thing because what I need to do, period, is surrender, believe God, and surrender. You know, in the military, when you surrender, you really ain't got nothing to do because you're just holding up your hand and you're going over into the new camp. And that's what we did as believers. We believed and we just surrendered and walked over into the camp of God. But believing is the basis where you walk over into the camp of God. And
that's
you get transformed by the renewing of your mind by the Holy Spirit. It's not about me going to the store buying new clothes and put on a long dress, you know, and not wearing makeup anymore and not, you know, all this stuff that we have in religion. That's not about that. You can go, you know, you can sit up in this church and you can put your long dress on and that ain't going to take you nowhere.
That's right.
You know, but it's about God doing this work on you. You know, it's about us surrendering our lives, you know, as living sacrifices. And it first starts with you believing, me believing. We have to believe God. You know, we can do nothing without believing him. And then he takes over and he takes control and he renews us. And, I mean, he transforms us. You know, we are a new creature. We don't make ourselves a new creature. It ain't a book I can buy at Barnes & Noble and go do my self-help thing.
Yeah.
God has to do this work on me from the inside out, but you have to believe.
Sure.
You know, you have to believe. And then after that believing, you can be transformed, but we must surrender these things. We must surrender ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We are the sacrifice. The sacrifice they used to make in the Old Testament, now it's us. You know, we are the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice on the cross, we got to follow our big brother and be the sacrifice too. But it's such a beautiful thing because the Holy Spirit is doing it, and he can't make no mistakes. See, the junk start happening when we start trying to play Holy Ghost Junior. This work for us starts with belief. Can you believe God? Because everything that can you believe?
And that's
where it starts at believing.
I believe.
Right believing. Because all this other this religious stuff have you doing stuff. You got to go get the new dress, you know. Some person sent me some new dresses that I needed to wear, but I said, you know what, I can't be pleasing you because, see, that'll mess me up. I need to please God.
That's right.
I've got to surrender to the Holy Spirit so that he can do his work. Because if you surrender to these people, they're going to do their work on you pretty good, and you're never going to satisfy them because they're going to always have something else for you to do.
Uh-huh.
But when you surrender to the Holy Spirit, it's a work of the Spirit.
All right.
And he's going to have his way. And his will is going to be done, not yours. And that's, you know, we've got to put it down, you know. When you believe God and you allow God to do what he's got to do, we can never go wrong with that. You know, I don't want to be tied up in these phobias and tied up in this fear that this world causes, because the world got all kind of fear for you. And they got new names. They'll come up with the phobia for you. You know, they'll figure out something for you. And, you know, that's the bottom line. That's what the world has. It has a strong spirit of fear. That's all it is fear. But God has love, power, and a sound mind for us. And, you know, that's an awesome thing because that's where our peace is. That's where our satisfaction is. That's what everybody's looking for, but they're looking in all these wrong places. And all this starts with believing. It's maintained by continued believing, and that's the way it's got to be. We've got to believe God. Like I said the last time that we were on, you know, Jesus characterized two people with great faith. It was the soldier, the Canaanite woman, and the help me, Dr. Hunter, the soldier.
The soldier, which one are you talking about? Go ahead.
Yeah, but the one that said, just speak the word only, don't come unto my house.
That's the centurion.
The centurion. And he said to those two people, I have not seen this great faith in all of Israel. This is great faith he calls us when we believe him. I
yes.
want Jesus to call my faith great faith. I want him to call me great faith, and that comes from believing. I only believe, and those people didn't do nothing else but believe God. They believed him. That lady that was healed with the issue of blood, she believed.
Mm-hmm.
She believed.
Right.
She believed. Amen.
And that's what he said to us in John 11 and 40. He said, if you can believe, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, with all Hallelujah. These things that people, with all these things that people are seeking, you know, to the people that are on the line tonight that don't believe, you know, God is not asking you to go out and clean up yourself. He's not asking you to go over there and, you know, make this type of contribution or anything. He only asks that you believe.
That's right.
You know, John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world. It's not He doesn't love all this business that's going on down here, but he loves everybody. Nobody is excluded.
Mm-hmm.
Female, male, it doesn't matter what your tribe, your color, your race, your gender, your ethnic background. He doesn't care about that. He loves all of us. And
all
we are all
us.
Created in the image of God. And he so loved you that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's all it takes for you to be in a right relationship with God is to believe.
All
period.
Right.
Period.
Amen.
And then after that is the surrender, and he does all the work. The Holy Spirit is the one that transforms us from the inside out. Now, anybody else telling you something different? They are not speaking from the Word of God. It is the Holy Spirit's work to transform us from the inside out. So that's all it is tonight, is that you just believe that God has made a way to reconcile us back to him. That's all it takes to be a believer, is to believe. So for
Amen.
Those that don't believe, you can make that step tonight. You can come out of all this fear. You can come out of this turmoil. You know, things are going to continue to go on in this world, but you don't have to be part of the world system.
That's right.
You can be assured that you know where you're going when you leave this earth.
Uh-huh.
Because you know what? There's so many people that will be leaving this earth today. Tonight before 12 o'clock,
uh-huh.
you know, if you ask yourself right now, if I died right now, where would I go, heaven or hell? You ain't got to go to hell. If you answer that thing and say, I know I don't have a relationship with God, you can get one right now. And all it takes
right,
for you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said that if whoever call on my name shall be saved.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, if you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's all.
Yes.
Believe. That's all it
Amen.
Is believe.
That's right.
That's all it is.
And for us that are believers that might have hit a snag or something, we can rededicate our life right now. And just, and, you know, confess our sins. Repent. Confess our sins. And 1 John 1:9 said that he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I hit that one about 10 times a day myself. Ain't no use in me playing. You know, that's just the bottom
Amen.
Line. You know. And, you know, we just need to walk on believing God, believing that we have authority, you know, over all the works of the enemy, because he died that we, you know, he came to die on that cross, that we would be delivered from all these works of the enemy. You know, that we would be forgiven, that we would have peace, and that we would have healing. You know, that's a free gift tonight. Salvation is a free gift. You don't have to send money in to be blessed. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. And all have sinned and fallen short. Ain't nobody just came up in this thing without sin. All have sinned.
That's right.
So So, you know, nobody's rejecting, nobody's looking at anybody high-minded, because if you are, you're in the wrong position.
Mm.
You can all have sin.
Amen.
You know, and this is a free
Amen.
Gift. It doesn't cost any money.
Amen.
You know. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, tonight I want to thank the ladies that have been on the radio tonight, for Tracy to the top and Sonia to the bottom. And those of you who came in the middle, we want to say we love you. We thank God for you. And remember, we are on every night, sometime from 7 or 8, but Wednesday is open. And I'm looking for some women and men who can come with me, where we can have a prayer time across America, because I get phone calls from people all over America, and I ask them one question: are you ready to pray? No, you pray, I said, I'll call you back. If you're not ready to pray, I'm gonna call you back when you make a decision.
Uh-huh.
I'm not gonna put you down. I want you to, if you ain't got something to say to the Father, why should I? Because I got words with the Father. But I want to say this tonight. I'm gonna put on some scriptures on here that I usually put on everybody want to listen in, because there are other people that listen around the world. And to my dear beloved tonight, who interceded for prayer for you, we know and we believe that God is going to do what He says He's going to do, because God said, "Give me back my word, and see will not perform it." And we've given God His word back for you, and you have also. And we're going to believe that God has healed you. And I'm hoping and praying that when you do let it be known what God has done for you, we're going to bring you on the radio station around the world. Because we got the lady who has a lot. I say all the women have a lot to say. But when you women get busy, y'all show know how to beat up on a man. When y'all get together, when y'all get to praying and get up with them deep prayer, I said, well, okay, let me get on this side, because y'all get to moaning and groaning and going. I said, oh, Lord, let me get in there. But I want to say this tonight. Remember my words. I love you.
Love you, too.
I love you.
Love you, babe.
I love you.
Love you, also.
Ain't nothing you can do about it. So the Lord bless you until next time. But I'm going to put on some that I have here. I hope it'll bless you, and God bless you, and God keep you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So therefore, I just want to read from the Word of God and give you God's medicine. First of all, from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Healing is God's will. There is no sickness in heaven, the Bible said. So it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. Then 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Then again, 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Romans 8, 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Romans 8, 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi 3, 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Deuteronomy 7, 15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. Exodus 15, 26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none or permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 33:6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Leviticus 26, chapter, the 3rd verse, and then the 9th verse. If ye walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments, and do them, I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Isaiah 58, 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Genesis 20:17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 2 Chronicles 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant, and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, the 9th verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Job 37:23. Touching the Almighty, he is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Psalm 67:2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Psalm 105, verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 103, verse 3. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 147, 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 23, 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30, verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34, 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Psalm 41, 3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Psalm 42, 11. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7, 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Then Isaiah shows us that healing is in the plan of redemption. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. On the margin reads, surely he has borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Galatians 3:13. Verse 14, and then verse 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Then Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, 13, and 14. And then chapter 2, verses 10 and 15. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, and the 12th verse, we read, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 28. And he, David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5:26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Psalm 90:10. The days of our years are 70, if by reason of strength they be 80 years. The 91st Psalm, verses 10 through 16. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion of the dragon shall thou trample on defeat. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 22. Thou shalt not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so you see, God has promised us long life, and he wants us to have long life. Now then, let's look at some scriptures concerning the earth walk of Jesus and his ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew the 8th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, and then verse 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitude marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place acknowledged of him, they sent out to all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 through 31. And Jesus departed thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, and when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 43. And they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had been dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things, many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing but it, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue's house certain, which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Then mark the 6th chapter, verse 53 through 56. And when they had passed over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret, and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Then mark the 7th chapter, verse 25 through 37. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But when Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Then she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit, touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephrathah, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more the great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He had done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Then in Mark, the 9th chapter, the 17th through the 29th verse, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I speak to thy disciples, that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft time it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thy dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Then in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, and he cometh to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Then Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 33 through 36, and then the 40th verse and the 41st verse. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou, Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them, and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. Then in Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 10, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was with him. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose, and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. Then in Luke, the 6th chapter, the 17th through the 19th verse, and he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for they went further out of him, and healed them all. Then in Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 11 through 17, And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight, glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men are to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And art not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, we shall read verses 2 through 14. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that it had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Will thou be made whole? The important man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come up unto thee. Then in John the 9th chapter, we shall read verses 1 through 7. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Then in John chapter 10, verse 10, The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Then again, Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 1st verse. When he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 20. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. John, the 14th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Acts the 6th chapter and the 8th verse. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Acts chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Acts chapter 9, verses 33 and 34. And there he found a certain man named Amos, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Amos, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on my feet. And he leaped and walked. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things or beings in heaven, and things or beings in earth, and things or beings under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 23. Here Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over are all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then in John, the 16th chapter, verses 23 and 24, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Again, Mark, the 16th chapter, the 15th through the 18th verses. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Notice, in my name they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. John, Gospel, the 14th chapter, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Acts the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 16. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up and stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And in his name, through faith in his name, now notice that, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. As they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in a hold unto the next day, for it was now evening time. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together to them. And when they set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set in all of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And behold, the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Then Matthew 18:19. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Mark chapter 11, verses 22-26. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, and then verses 19-21. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So then faith cometh, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do his good pleasure. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Romans 6:14. For sin or Satan shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Then Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 8:16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. John chapter 1, verse 1, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and peace. John 15:7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper.